This is August 5th, and what's the topic this month?
The way we are.
The way we are.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you, you gods and goddesses. Excuse me. Well, here we are, into a new month, and we're still doing the same theme, that you are gods and goddesses. This is the most important thing to learn in this lifetime, that you are one with this thing called God, and therefore you have to be gods and goddesses. You are absolutely perfect because you were created by something that is perfect. And this thing called God, that we call God, if it's perfect, it can only create something that is perfect. But when we come here to this plane of action, we start to be convinced by the world, by other people, and by our own minds telling us that we are not perfect. And we make up all this stuff about ourselves. The horrible thing that we make up about ourselves is that we were born sinful people, that we were born into sin. Give that idea up, that you're a sinful person. You are not a sinful person, and you were not born in sin. You were born in love. You were born in delight, you say. This thing called God would not do that to itself. Remember, God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. It would not create you and then throw you down here on this plane of action and say, now you're a sinner and you're the worm of the earth and you're this, that, and the other thing. Now go see what you can do about that. But then what happens is we are around people who tell us that, and then they take us to institutions and they take us to churches who repeat that same message to us. So we decide that this is true, and we decide, well, we have to suffer because of our sins or the sins of somebody else. Don't do that to yourself. This idea of sin, yes, we make mistakes, and that's all a sin happens to be, is a horrible mistake. It's a horrible choice that you made. And yes, you're going to have to pay the consequences for that choice. But that has nothing to do with God whatsoever. God always holds you in the highest of esteem. And this is what you must do for yourself. You must hold yourself in the highest of esteem, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of what people are saying about you, and especially what your own mind is telling you. So let's remember what Mary Baker Eddy said: you must argue with your mind like a judge, like a lawyer before a judge, and you must always make sure that you win. You must never allow your mind to win. When you do that, you are punishing your own self and you are taking yourself down instead of building yourself up. You must remember that you are a god or a goddess. If you don't like looking at that or that particular thing, tell yourself that you're a god in the making. And that's truly what we are, gods in the making. We are here on this plane of action to discover that. We are here on this plane of action to discover how wonderful we are, how loving we are. That is what we are here for. And the more we do that, the more we become this thing called God. Because there is only God. There is no separation. There is no separation. Here on this plane of action, we see separation all the time. We see individuals. And we say, well, that individual is not me. That individual is some part of you. Because we're all some part of God. But all of us together make up the whole, you see. And that's what you have to know. Now, if you look at the universe as a hologram, what do we know about a hologram? That any part of a hologram, if you take it away from there, it will repeat the whole pattern again. It just repeats the whole pattern. You can chop it down to smaller and smaller pieces. It'll still produce the exact same thing as the big one. And that's what we are. In a holographic universe, we're some part of this. So if we're some part of God, we have to be able to be the whole thing, the whole enchilada. You see? So, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, there. The nearly newlywed just arrived.
Right.
So, think of those things during your waking hours, when you're walking around. Know that you're part of this whole thing, that you are a God in the making, that something wonderful is happening inside of you. It's growing. That's what we are here for, and that's how civilization will advance. We have come to a point in civilization where we are now able to participate in the evolution itself. Before, it just was happening automatically. Now we have reached that point in our intellect and in our spiritual development to realize that we can influence evolution. We can now make decisions about where we are going. So we give up the idea that we're just human. This is the mistake that we make, because we look at all this, we look at our hands, we look at our body, and we say, oh, this is a human form. Yes, you may have a human form, but you're completely spiritual. And that's where we fail to realize. So if mankind is to evolve past the idea that you're just a human, you have to contact this divinity that is within inside of you. And it has to be inside of you, because that's all there is. We cannot make a statement, all there is God, and then say, but I'm not part of that. Because that's all there is this thing called God. With that, would you read this and pass it on, please?
I am an expression of the divine.
I am an expression of the divine.
I am an expression of the divine.
An expression of the divine.
I am 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 an expression of the divine.
And I am an expression of the divine. Try to make this one of your little mantras, that you are an expression. We say that all the time. You're an individualized expression of God. So you're an individualized expression of the divine itself. And think in those terms instead of, oh, I'm human and this is what way humans act, this is the way humans think, and this is what humans go through. Remember, this teaching is all about going through life in a completely different way. You see, there's a completely different way to go through life. And most people do not know that. So they just keep repeating what they saw their parents do, their grandparents do, and generations before them. So, this month we're going to talk about the way we are. Not, as Barbara Streisand said, the way we were. This is the way we are. How are we? You are the one who's going to have to decide that for yourself. How are you? Are you human? Are you spiritual? What is going on inside of you? You see, we see the world not the way the world is. We always see the world the way we are. What does that mean? That's that whole idea when I tell you that you do not see with your eyes, you see with your mind. It's what's going on in your mind that causes you to see what you are looking at. If you have hatred and lack and limitation and all that going on in your thinking, in your mind, that is what you are going to see. It's as simple and easy as that. The eyes see nothing. It's the mind that sees it all. and you see through the filter that you put on. So if you put a lack of limitation filter on your eye, that is what you're going to see. So we want to remove all the filters that we have put on ourselves since childhood, and even probably before that. We start to believe. You see, we're loaded with information. We have all kinds of information about ourselves. What are some of the information that we have? I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm intelligent, I'm not intelligent, I'm this, I'm that. That's all information. You are not the information, but yet you think you are. You see? If you go to a doctor, the doctor says you have cancer, that's information, isn't it? And you take that information and you say, oh, I have cancer. No, don't become the information. You're not the information. It's just information. You have tons of information about yourself. You've collected information about yourself all the time. I'm good with crossword puzzles. Not me. People thought, you know, I'm an artist, I'm a painter, I'm this. That's information. That's information. That's not who you are. You're always more than all the information that you can collect about yourself. And it's all right to collect all this information. But don't think that that information is you. It is not you. It's just information. You see? But we fall for that all the time. I'm an actor. I'm a this. I'm a that. That's only information. It has nothing to do with anything whatsoever. But we make that very important. We make that very important to ourselves. So, it boils down to, again, change your mind, change your life. When you change what's going on in your mind with the thinking, then you see things differently. And I think all of you have proven that to yourself. But we keep forgetting that, that we are the ones that are the cause under our own experience. And we do that with our thinking. So we have to learn to think differently about ourselves and about life itself. We have to think bigger thoughts about ourselves. This teaching that somebody made into what they think is a religion, which is all well and good, it doesn't bother me in the least. There's tons of truth running through this religion. When Ernest Holmes wrote the book Science of Mind, what he did is he took other people's ideas and he compiled them. He went through literature, he went through other religions, and he found a thread of truth running through. And he took that thread of truth and he compiled it into a book called The Science of Mind. And the ideas that are in The Science of Mind have been around for centuries. Marcus Aurelius was a Roman emperor. He knew about all of this. He said that we were divine and that we had a divine fire inside of us. Each one of us has a divine fire going on inside of us. So all these truths, you have to see, how do they work for you in your life? How do you become who you are? How do you become who you want to be? By starting to change. By realizing that you are the creator, not only manifesting things out here on the outside of life, but you are the creator of your own life, and you do that with your thinking. And you can change if you think that you're poor, that you're stupid, or you're this, or you're that. You can change all of that by changing your mind, by changing your thinking about yourself. William Shakespeare in Julius Caesar, there's a line, the fault is not in our scars, dear Brutus, that we are in underlings, but in ourselves. The fault is not in the stars that we are underlings, but in ourselves. And we fail to see that all the time, because the world wants you to think that it's something else going on. It wants you to think that there's some power or somebody outside pulling your strings, causing you to do something. It's the stars. It's your horoscope. It's this doing it. It's that doing it. The only thing that's doing anything is you. You have to know that. There is nothing outside of you causing anything. I had a condominium meeting the other night, and a man blew up and got all excited, and he said to me, "She just pushes my buttons." I said, "She pushes nothing. You push your own buttons." She only said something, and you decided to get ballistic. You have to remember, no one can push a button unless you allow it. No one can pull your strings unless you allow it. It was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Don't give your consent to these things. But you see, we hear this all the time. Somebody else caused me to do this. I grew up in a home where it was absolutely natural to always blame somebody else. Absolutely natural to blame somebody else. I think I told this story before. My mother was a great one. Nothing was ever her fault. Nothing. She could rationalize herself right out of that. Something else caused it. It wasn't her. She didn't do it. So her grandson had a little doll with a porcelain head. He was carrying it. And they were visiting my aunt. And when he opened the door, the doll fell down and smashed the head. My mother said, "It's not your fault. She should have opened the door quicker." See, always the blame. Always put it someplace else. Blame it on somebody else, you know. Oh, I know the cutest one I ever heard from my family, who were absolutely sometimes crazy-making. My cousin was driving, and I was in the back seat sleeping, and he ran into somebody. When we get home, my parents did not scold him at all. They said, "It's your fault, Dallas. You shouldn't have been sleeping. If you would have been up watching, he wouldn't have had the accident." So you see how the thinking, and we accept this type of thinking, is what I'm trying to say. You have to look at yourself and say, "I am the cause of this. I am the cause unto my own experience. I am the way I am because of me, not because of anybody else." But the world likes to tell you what? That it was your upbringing, that it was your genes, that it was this, it was that, it was your schooling. You didn't get the right schooling, you didn't get this. I mean, if you didn't get the right schooling, you can get it now. You see? All those things. And I love when people say, "I didn't have a happy childhood." So what? A lot of people didn't have a happy childhood. You want a happy childhood? Have one now. Just make up your mind. I'm going to have my childhood now. Have your childhood. Get it over with and grow up. You see? Don't sit around the rest of your life saying, "Oh, I had a poor childhood. My childhood wasn't good." Who cares? Who cares? No one. You know, that other cousin of mine, 70 years old, her mother's 92, and they're still fighting over something that happened when she was a little girl. Give it up. You want to go to your death with that? No. That's the other reason why we're here, to clear out all that stuff, to realize that all that stuff means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Nothing. Forgive yourself, forgive everybody else, and move on with your life. The world teaches that we have to go through all that, we have to go to psychiatrists, we have to do all this to clear this stuff out. Don't waste your time. Just say, "I'm giving all this up. It doesn't matter. I am the one that's creating my life from this very moment. I am the one that's creating my life." And you have to know that about yourself. and forgive yourself for all that stuff. And when the mind throws up all those memories from the past, why do you want to go down memory lane? So many people, let's have a sock hop. No, thank you. I went through the sock hop age. I don't need to go back through that again. And it may have been nice. It may have been wonderful. But who wants to repeat things? Who wants to repeat things? But you let your mind run over the same story again and again and again. Why is that so important? Not to do that. Remember the whole idea, give us this day our daily bread? It's daily. Give us new ideas. Give me new thoughts. That's the daily bread. It doesn't mean eating yourself to death. It means changing. You don't eat the same food every day. You change. You like variety. But yet you'll think the same thought. You'll think the same thought. You'll say, oh, I'm tired of eating all that roast beef. I want something new. All this thought keeps going on. You never seem to get tired of it. You say, oh, well, let's look at it one more time. Let it come up one more time. So, give yourself something new to think about. Your daily bread. Do something new and different with your life. It's all in the mind. Our dear friend Emmett Fox said it's a mental world we live in. And it absolutely is a mental world we live in. We happen to be spiritual beings living in a mental world. And we have to learn to function in this mental world as spiritual individuals. But we sit here, and people sit all around the world in different religions. And they go to church every Sunday. They do all these different things. But they never grow up emotionally. They will not let things go. You have to learn to let go of everything. Everything you have to let go of. Think of it. How much better, and the peace of mind that you're looking for will only come when you give up all that stuff that you cannot change. You cannot change the past. You can change your concept of the past. But you cannot change the past. The only time there is this moment. It's the internal now that we're talking about. And in this now, in this moment, is the only power there is. In this time, in this moment, is the only life there is. If you're thinking about this morning, that's gone. If you're thinking about tomorrow, that's not here. So there's no life in the past, and there's no life in the future. The only life there is right here and right now. And that's what we want to concentrate on the present moment. How am I doing right now? I'm doing just fine. You see? Remember in, Alcoholic Anonymous, maybe some people haven't been there, but the people who have been there, what do they teach? One day at a time. If you can get through one day at a time. So try getting through one moment at a time, and then go on to the next moment. And if you live in the moment, your mind won't go take you to the past, and it won't take you to the future. It will show you what's in front of you. And there's a wonderful thing in front of us. We very seldom see what's going on in front of us. We very seldom see what's going on in the moment because our mind is someplace else. You must always bring your mind back to your body and not let it float out somewhere else. What do I mean by your mind going someplace else? If you're sitting here and wondering if you turned off the coffee pot, if you locked the door at home, what you're going to eat when you get home, what television program is going to be on when you get home, you're not in the present moment. As soon as you go someplace else, you leave the present moment. And your mind wants to take you someplace else. Why does it want to take you someplace else? Because it never wants you to see what's going on in the present moment. It doesn't want you to see how wonderful it is to be in the moment. You see, when you're in the moment, and you're thinking of only the moment, now you can't think of of all the aches and pain. You cannot think of disease. You cannot think of poverty. You cannot do that because it's only in the moment. And if you can live in the moment, you just keep expanding that moment. This is the way it's done. But we let our mind take us here, there, and everywhere. There's nothing in this world to fear. Nothing in this world can hurt you except your own thinking. You see? It's always going to be your thinking. And that's the villain. And that's the thing that hurts us the most, is our thinking. You see? We get emotional. We think, oh, I'm going to run out of money. I'm going to do this. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. None of that stuff has happened. Why even bother to think about it? Some college, and I don't remember the name of it, did a psychological study on people, and they discovered that 99% of the things that people worry about never occur. 99% of the things that people worry about never occur. But yet we sit around and worry. What if this happens? What if that happens? You see? Instead of saying, wonderful things are always happening. Wonderful things are always happening. And wonderful things are happening to me now. Okay. Let wonderful things happen to you. So how do you let wonderful things happen to you? How do you get into this state? By realizing that you're a part of this whole thing. That all you are is God, but you are not all that God is. And then learning to think God thoughts after it. And not be convinced with what the world is doing out there. When I talk about diseases and so forth, I never deny that those diseases exist out there. What I deny is the necessity for them. There is no necessity for anything that's going on in your life that is unpleasant. There's no necessity for that. When things are going like that, at the root of it, you're going to find that you are punishing yourself for something that you think you have done that is wrong. It's always going to be self-punishment. And I can give you case after case. I've watched people do this to themselves. Years ago in the 1800s, there was a man called Phineas Quimby. Phineas Quimby was a metaphysician. He lived in New England. And if somebody got ill and was near death, they would call Phineas and they would call the undertaker at the same time. And whoever got there first got the body. And Phineas was a healer, and he healed these people. Now, how did he heal these people? He healed them by telling them how wonderful they were. He healed them by telling them that they were part of the divine. And what he had discovered was this, that these people with all these diseases, all this suffering, they thought that they had committed the ultimate sin. They had committed the ultimate sin. And what he discovered was, there's no such thing as the ultimate sin, because each of them talked about something else thinking was the ultimate sin. And you see, we let our mind do that to us. We do something and we say, I'm the only person that ever thought this, I'm the only person that ever did this, and it must be the ultimate sin. And then we proceed to punish ourselves for that. Why do we punish ourselves for things? Well, not only because we have these religions out there that tell us that you must be punished. The world punishes. That's what the world does. The world does not teach success. It teaches just punishment. You must be punished for doing that. You made a mistake. You did this, therefore that's 20 years in jail and 30 lashes and this going on and that going on. But the world does not teach forgiveness. It does not teach compassion. It teaches punishment. And we grow up thinking that we have to be punished in some way. And how do people punish themselves? By getting an illness, by living in poverty, you see? This is all punishment. I don't deserve. I don't deserve. So therefore, I have to suffer. I have to punish myself. You see? And there are religions. Have an icon. And what is that icon that most religions have? It's called the cross. And the cross was used to punish. It was a torture device. So you're sitting in church looking at a cross, whether it's the bare cross of the Protestants or the full cross of the Catholics with Jesus hanging there. You're always looking at something that's being punished. And you're looking at a torture device. So how do you think you're going to be thinking if you're looking at that? You see? It's an old, old thing, and it may have been George Carlin who said, what if Jesus would have been electrocuted on the electric chair? Would we be wearing little electric chairs around our neck? Would we do the sign of the chair? You know, these are things to think about. So you wonder why your psyche, why your mind is thinking the way it does. Look what you're doing. Icons and symbols have a very profound influence on the subconscious mind. You know, if you see a cross, you immediately think something the same. But it's a torture device. So, think of those things. So, back to the idea of healing yourself. To heal yourself of anything, you have to know what? That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter thing. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yeah. So this is what it's all about. If you want to be the way we are, or the way you are, you're the one that is doing that. So give up any idea that there's anything outside of you or anybody outside of you that's causing anything. It's always going to be your thinking. So it boils down always to choice. What am I choosing to think? And that is the most marvelous thing of this teaching. You can choose to think anything that you want. You can choose to think anything that you want. We are not taught that. We are taught that we must think like other people. We must think like the institution that we graduated from, the college that we graduated from. We must take on that instead of thinking critically for ourselves. So learn to think for yourself. This teaching is all about teaching you how to think, not about what to think. It doesn't matter. We don't want you to think. You know, I talk, I give out all this stuff. I can pull from Ernest Holmes, I can pull from David Walker, I can pull from a myriad of religious people, religious books, and so forth. But you have to put it together in your own way and make it yours so that you feel comfortable. See, there is no right way for salvation. In fact, there's no such thing as salvation, because we are all saved. We've never been lost souls. You're saying? Now we have to learn that. We have to learn to think. How do I want to think about this? How do I want to think about myself, and how do I want to think about God? Not how does Dallas or Ernest Holmes or Raymond Charles Barker or the Pope think about these things. How do I think about these things? I know that people think that the Pope is infallible, that every thought he thinks is a great thought. I doubt that seriously. I doubt that seriously. But here is something I will tell you. Learn to think God thoughts after it. When you're doing anything, say to yourself, how would God approach this? How would God think about this? Not how do humans think about this? You're saying. What we try to do is bring this thing called God down onto this plane of action. And we must go up to this thing called God instead of bringing God down. So we talk about this wonderful thing called the law of attraction and all. We think that the law of attraction can be pulled down. The law of attraction cannot be pulled down. The law of attraction belongs in the spiritual world. And now if you're not manifesting, it's because you're trying to use it down here. You must go up there and use it in the spiritual world. And it's beyond all the concepts that we think. We say, we compare that to gravity. We compare it to electricity. We say that it has something to do with quantum physics. It has nothing to do with any of those things, people. It's a way far above all that stuff. Quit trying to pull it down here. Bring it up and bring yourself up. That's what we are trying to do here. Expand our consciousness, raise our consciousness to this thing that we call God. You see. Now, we were taught as children that God's always watching over us. That may be true. We are also taught that we must worship this thing, that this is such a great thing. God is far and above worship. Far and above worship. If you want to worship something, worship yourself. And know how wonderful you are. God already knows how wonderful it is. It needs nothing from us. But we need something from it. And what we get from it is the idea that we do truly live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. And that we can use that mind to better our lives and to make this plane of action the wonderful experience that it was meant to be. The wonderful experience that it was meant to be. You see, we have that wonderful story about Genesis and Adam and Eve in the garden. And it starts out just wonderful. Everyone's being taken care of. There's plenty of this. There's plenty of that. And then somebody has to throw in this snake and apple and so forth. And ruin the whole thing. Now, the whole world thinks that we've been kicked out of the garden. We have never been kicked out of the garden. Don't fall for that baloney. We've never been kicked out of this garden. Let's go back one moment to when I said in the beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden, in paradise and all your needs were being taken care of. All your needs were being taken care of. And this is what you have to know today. All my needs are being taken care of. How? I have not the faintest idea. I have not the faintest idea. But I know that I'm being taken care of. But see, now we say I'm being taken care of, and now everyone wants to rush out and do something about that. There's nothing to do, people. There's only something to be. There's nothing to do. Only something to be. What does that mean? It means be that wonderful thing that you truly are. Be your very best. Be your very best. Challenge yourself to be better and better and better. To be better and better and better. When I was in college, my roommate used to say, and I think he got it from the 4-H, it was, never rest till better is better and best is best. I think. Does anyone remember that from 4-H? Did anyone go to 4-H? Well, anyway. Never rest till better is better and best is best. And that's what we're trying to do. So the way we are is the way we've made ourselves. So if you're looking at yourself and you think that your parents did it, your school did it, the economy did it, whatever you think has done it to you, give that idea up. You've done it to yourself. You've done it to yourself. Remember the man in my condominium meeting saying, she pushed my buttons. No one can push your buttons. No one can do that unless you allow them to do it. So, the whole idea here is we must grow up emotionally. You cannot remain that 5-year-old child. Most people never grow up emotionally, never grow past the age of 5 emotionally. They get a great big body, but their emotions stay this small. You must give yourself those emotions and not say that's the way humans act. Because I watch humans act that way all the time, therefore I must act that way all the time. Let those humans act that way. You do not have to act that way. You are spiritual beings having a human life at the present moment. But don't give up your spirituality simply because you're walking around in this sack of water. Let's see. Think for yourselves. Learn to think better and bigger thought about yourself. Bigger and better all the time. Become the thing that you want to become. Become this thing called God. So take that responsibility upon yourself. You can take that responsibility, you know, without any weight or anything. You just say, this is what I'm trying, and then go and try it. But have fun while you're doing this. You see, everyone who wants to go get spiritual thinks you have to be serious. Well, if that was the case, I wouldn't have lasted a day. You know? Have fun with it. Have fun with your life. Have fun. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. If you don't enjoy now, when do you think you're going to enjoy? How many people here think that they're going to come back? How many people think of reincarnation and so forth? This may be the only chance you have. Maybe the only chance you have. You see? So with all the miracles and all the wanting and all the getting and all the manifestation things that you want, there's nothing wrong with any of that. And being grateful for all that you have. Nothing wrong with that. But sit down and be grateful just for being here at this moment, at this time in space. And be thankful that you have this wonderful life. Just be thankful for that. All the rest will be added. All the rest will be added. Give yourselves a break. Learn to enjoy life. You may only pass this way once. You don't know. I don't know. I'm saying this way. I'm not saying there's a finality anywhere. But this may be the only time you're on this plane of action. You can't believe in this thing called God. You can't believe in infinity. You can't look out at the night sky and think that this is the only place that life is going on. So you will be moving graduating to something else. But while you're here, don't give in to the world and think, oh, I've got it. This is the way it is. Isn't this awful? Don't give in to that idea. Make your life what you want it to be. But start with enjoying first. And that doesn't mean that you have to have all the trappings. To enjoy yourself, you just have to be. You just have to be. Be your wonderful, loving selves. Know how magnificent you are. And then enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. It's the only thing that you can do that makes sense of any type. Makes sense. You see that old affirmation that we had a long time ago, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. We keep forgetting that, and we think we have to do more, 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 more. And it boils down to that idea that we're all human doings, and we're not human doings, we're human beings. We're human beings, not doings, but the world tells us we have to do, 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 do. That we have to get. And Paul said, in all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding what? Understanding of yourself. Who am I? Who am I? I'm a wonderful, wonderful human being. I'm a wonderful human being. I am spirit. I am light. That's the things that you want to think about. And then it's right back to love yourself as much as you possibly can. As much as you possibly can. Each and every day, every minute of every day, you have to love yourself. And you do that by taking control of your mind, by taking control of your thinking. So that for those thoughts that come up that tell you this, that, or the other thing, don't allow them to get in to your thinking. A mental world. Use your mind and change it. Remember, Ernest Holmes, page 181, Science of Mind. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. And learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. Learn to think the thought that you want to think instead of letting random thoughts come in there. Wouldn't it be nice if your mind always told you how wonderful you were, how marvelous you were? You see? But we're taught, oh, we can't do that because we're humans, or we'll get conceited, or how dare you think you're so much. In my family, if you did that, my mother would say, who do you think you are? The big I am. You see, they want you to think that you're the little I am. Go ahead and think that you're the big I am. Because there's only the big I am. There's only the big I am. Meaning, there's only God. There's nothing out there but God. So learn to see God in each and everything. And learn to see this wonderful world the way it was meant to be seen. It's a wonderful gift, this planet. And your life is a wonderful gift. Learn to use it. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.